I'm finding that it isn't that companies don't have inventory, they just never have what I need. Guess I'm not alone either.
Let's get to it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Another episode of IBF On Demand. I'm your in-stock and maybe just a little excess host, Eric Wilson. Find me at eric@ibf.org. That's eric@ibf.org. Thanks for the follows and subscribe. Find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, wherever you want to get your podcast. I guess you don't get your podcast on Instagram, but I'm there if you want to see food pics. But wherever you find your podcast, you can find this IBF On Demand. Thank Arkiva, driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. Thank you, Arkiva, as well. One thing I want to give a quick plug to is IBF does a lot of conferences, and we do boot camps. Conferences, we generate practitioners, subject matter experts, sharing. So there's a variety of different speakers talking on it, you know, different types of topics. Our boot camps are a little bit different. We do an immense type of deep dive into a certain topic. We do fundamentals of business forecasting. We do S&OP. We do an advanced forecasting and analytics. We also will do a supply planning boot camp. It's in Nashville, around August 10th or so, in Nashville. Check it out at ibf.org. It's great boot camp going into the planning part of supply. And one other special thing. August 10th happens to be my birthday, so if you want to come and celebrate my birthday with me, and we can all celebrate together in Nashville, check it out, ibf.org. We're going to have a great party, talk about supply planning for 3 days, so come check us out. If that intro kind of sounded familiar, with the exception of the supply planning part of it, it's for good reason. This is a recurring topic, talking about inventory. That's what we're going to talk about today. Inventory, once again. Inventory continues to be a problem for organizations. And if it continues to be questions that people will email me at eric@ibf.org, eric@ibf.org, and they'll ask me questions about inventory. So much so that I wanted to bring on an expert to kind of talk more about this topic. I had a podcast a couple weeks ago, actually about a month ago at this point. We had a podcast that came out that really highlighted inventory as a topic. It got such a overwhelming response that we're doing part two, or the second part. And I said I'm bringing on a special guest that could add even more enlightenment and color to the topic of inventory optimization planning and why we have too much of some things and not enough of another. Reports show right now that most businesses have about 20 to 40% of their working capital tied up in inventory at all times. Those numbers are continuously increasing over the past year or so. And at the same time, we're still seeing stock shortages on shelf. It is a problem. It's one of the number one problems in organizations. JIT and demand driven are getting tarnished. Safety stock is still misunderstood, and we need to sort it all out. That's the reason why I've invited Jeff. Jeff Baker is currently the managing director of his own supply chain management consulting organization. Jeff is an executive supply chain leader with an extensive experience in S&OP and demand management optimization, modeling, and supply chain strategy. Throughout his consulting career, Jeff has worked with Fortune 500 clients to improve their key supply chain processes, resulting in increased profitability. He has helped companies save millions of dollars through reducing working capital and cost optimization. He has some little kind of degree from some little university called MIT. He is a winner of the Institute Business of Forecasting and Planning Excellence in Business Forecasting and Planning Award, and also a bourbon fan just like me and a good friend, Jeff Baker. So welcome, Jeff. It's exciting to have you on in person.
It's a great to be here back again. Great to see you, Eric.
Yeah, and FYI, on the Blanton's bottle back here, I have your next topper you're looking for. So as soon as I finish that Excellent. Bottle, you can have the topper.
I'll come and I'll help you finish it off.
Well, speaking of inventory, that's today. I mentioned we're going to be bringing you on as the expert to talk about inventory today. There's a lot of companies having problems. Too much of some things, not enough of others. Inventory is just all mixed up and problem child for a lot of organizations right now. Yep. My first question is for you. Here's a real easy one. How exactly did we get here? Why is it a problem all of a sudden in the middle of 2023?
I think we're just seeing a lot more variability. You know, for years, we tried to lean out the supply chain. It was a well-oiled machine. And when you're operating in very tight conditions, yeah, that works fine. You know, the example I use is my SUV. You know, I've got 230,000 miles on it. It does great on the highway. I can keep it. It's a 2008. I'll probably keep it for another 10 years. But if I decided to go off-roading with it, or if I decided to run it at 8,000 RPM speeding down the highway, or if I, you know, was going to pull 8,000-pound trailer, it's going to break. So, you know, we get to these systems that are, you know, the term is robust yet fragile. They're very good inside narrow operating conditions. You go outside of them and they start to fall apart. And that's kind of what's happened to our supply chain is the global pandemic, a lot of variability. It's just exposed a lot of the weaknesses in the supply chain. So I think that's, you know, one of the reasons we're here.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Even I could understand that. I've heard a lot of other people, you know, shifting responsibilities being one, you know, to the tier one suppliers, OTIF, as far as, you know, from like Walmart and other organizations pushing that. I've heard JIT be blamed. Is there some of those things that's really contributing to the inventory issues or not having the right focus on what we needed to focus on now?
Yeah, I mean, it's the just-in-case versus the just-in-time. And again, just-in-time, I think, has been a problem. And yeah, if you look at a tier one supplier, so I've got a friend who works for a tier one automobile supplier. He's like, just-in-time just means that our trucks are sitting outside waiting for the dock to open up. So it's just-in-time for the it's just-in-time for the customer. For them, it's a huge amount of waste. And when you can't even have that kind of a buffer, that leads to the problem. But some of this mentality of like, we can kind of snap our fingers and the product is going to be there real quickly has led to this because you can't have that happen all at once because then you get a lot of confounding problems. And your supply chain does tend to just to bind up and come to a stop in some cases.
So in some ways they, you know, kind of that JIT that came out of the 80s, 90s is part of the problem that either it was misunderstood or we didn't implement it correctly or it needs that and something.
Yeah, I think it needs the and where you really need to look now at the variability. The world is, again, a lot more variable. You just have to take measures to, you know, protect yourself against that.
Okay. So the other thing that I hear either misunderstood or blamed is the safety stock, you know, not understanding the purpose of it, the uses of it. So safety stock has kind of got a bad name and it's in people kind of misunderstand it. Is safety stock that and that we really need to start looking at again and managing that better?
Yeah, I mean, so you've got to buffer your supply chains. If you go back to what's a supply chain supposed to do, go back to like the basic cost equations. I've got to make sure that I've got my product there to service my customer. I've got to make sure that I minimize my costs or optimize my costs. And I got to do it at the lowest working capital. A lot of times we see these swings. So right now, you know, customer service used to be a problem because we didn't have any customer service. So the inventory balance swings, hey, we need inventory just in case. And now, you know, the conversation is working capital and it'll swing back. So you get these pendulum type of effects. But I think a reasonable amount of inventory, you know, again, not to bash on the lean, but lean is viewed as a waste. It's one of the eight wastes of lean, right? And so I think we need to think about it as a buffer. So, you know, what can we use for buffer? We can use time as a buffer. We can use inventory as a buffer, and we can have extra capacity. And based on your strategy, you're going to employ a combination of those to buffer your supply chain against these variabilities that we're seeing.
Okay. So from what I heard, it's not a pure demand-driven pull. It's not a pure push. There's really a balance between those things. And safety stock is one of those tools you can use besides capacity, time, nodes, other things you can do as well. So we have a tool in safety stock and it depends. It's not all one or all of another or on a push pull either. It's kind of balancing everything together.
Exactly. Yep. Finding that optimal balance point for sure.
Okay. So with that, looking at safety stock then as one of those components, I said it's misunderstood sometimes, kind of taking it apart. What are some of the major factors that really drive safety stock? You mentioned uncertainty. What are some of the other things that really go into safety stock or some of the factors that are really driving safety stock?
Yeah. So again, if you look at how our supply chains, we've been programmed to think low-cost suppliers, right? And typically overseas, very long supply chain. So if my supply chain takes 6 months, I need to predict 6 months out what my demand is going to be, right? So it's the lead time of like, how long does it take me to replenish it? It is the variability in that. And oftentimes, you know, what we're seeing is the longer the supply chain is, the more variability you're going to have in time on the supply side. Then on the demand side, you know, what's my demand? What's my forecast error demand variability? And then you also need to, you know, think about how far out you're forecasting. The farther out we're forecasting, you know, we have less of an idea. So it's almost a perfect storm with this variability and very, very long supply changes. Yeah, I've got long lead times because of long lead time variability. I have to forecast out a long time, so I don't know what my demand is going to be. And so I've got all these uncertainties that are magnified by the length of my supply chain.
So let's be honest. You don't always know what your supply is going to be nowadays either, though.
Right.
So it's not just demand. Yeah. It's supply as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know sometimes people in forecasting demand management get a little bit of a bad rap, like the forecast is always wrong. Well, your supply plan isn't always right either. And you do have a long supply chain. And oftentimes, because, you know, our supply chains, they still act a bit siloed. You know, if you look at the purchasing function, oftentimes they're incented on low cost. You know, and one of my favorite low cost stories was working for a company that was manufacturing vitamins and supplements. And the supply planner was like really happy because they got a really good deal on one of these vitamins. They got a 6 month supply of something that only had a shelf life of 3 to 4 months. And so they had a great unit cost and that looked good from a purchasing standpoint, but from a supply chain standpoint, it made no sense whatsoever, right? So those types of things confound the decision-making when you've got all these, you know, functional silos. Unless you've got a good S&OP process that's cutting across all your functional silos, you're going to run into problems like this.
Okay. So, I mean, I heard about lead time, heard of uncertainty, demand and supply. I might have missed it, but, I mean, your service is going to be another major component in there as far as managing what services you want, as far as that calculation in a safety stock and how much you need to carry, then I'm assuming as well, correct?
That is correct, but most people will look at service level, how they ought to look at a service level is something that's very strategic set, right? I use that as an input to how well do I want to service my customer. So at a base level, you ought to have an idea of like, what should my service level be to my customers? Probably a better refinement of that is if I treat customers differently. I've got my A customers, my B and my C. I might provide one service level, a higher service level to my A customers. And then, you know, if I'm trying to lower my safety stock on my inventory, well, maybe I don't need to service my B and certainly not my C customers as highly. So when that variability does come, think about who is going to be in allocation. Maybe it's my C customers and I can maintain kind of that A tier with a high service, but the lower ones are going to suffer proportionately more. So that's another way to think about it.
Okay, so not only are you just looking at service, but you're looking at a service segmented from customer, an ABC, XYZ type of analysis with your customers then as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yep.
So okay. So when you're looking at as far as balancing that uncertainty piece, because we keep hearing that come up, obviously that's going to reduce my safety stock. It's going to be able to, you know, service my customer better, manage my business better. The problem I'm hearing back from customers, I mean from clients, let me ask you the question that I get. That way you can answer it for them. Okay, great. I have these safety stock. All my inventory levels are blowing up because of the uncertainty I had from COVID. I have a lot higher forecast error. I'm 20, 30% higher forecast error than what I had prior to COVID. So being that's feeding into my safety stock, it's blowing up all my safety stock calculations. Should I ignore this data? Do I actually plan for this more uncertainty? How do I handle this COVID uncertainty as an element now as part of my safety stock calculation?
Yeah, so I tend to get real practical now. If you asked me that question a year ago, I'd have kind of scratched my head. But now what I think we can say is we're starting to get enough data where we certainly have enough data to understand what our new level is. We can understand what our new trend is going to be. And the inherent seasonalities that we've always had, those patterns are probably going to be the same. So you can think of, you know, the seasonal index is probably going to be pretty consistent, you know, if you take out that COVID part. So yeah, I think now we've got enough data where we can start forecasting and make an assumption that the seasonality is going to maintain kind of the same number. And that is probably the best thing we can do right now.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want to go like way back into your data and go, well, what would have happened? And you can try to, you know, either backwards forecast and or, you know, forwards forecast, you know, based on 2019 and ignore the whole COVID, you know, 2 years. It's a lot of work to do that. There's not a lot of people that are willing to jump in and go, okay, what would my demand have been? And that's why last year was very, very challenging as we're starting to come out. But now this year, I think we've got enough history where we can start to understand, hey, what's the new baseline and trend really going to look like?
Well, since you answered my question on, hey, what do we do with this uncertainty data that I'm getting? Now you can answer other questions that I've gotten from the audience as well. One of the other questions I got after the last podcast was, our company uses a generic 30 days of supply on everything. That's what we're supposed to carry. It's kind of that top-down culture, some executive, this is what we're supposed to do. How do you get past that? How do you start talking to executives and working them towards, hey, everything's not created equal. Here's an inventory optimization. Here's inventory policies that we should start doing. When there's a culture with the CEO or executives, how do we start breaking down those two inventory policies?
I mean, that's a great question because, you know, almost all of your ERP systems have, hey, what are my days on hand? And if you look at, you know, days on hand and inventory turns are, you know, you know, 30 days of coverage is 12 inventory turns, right? So people, you know, can get that. It clicks in their head, you know, but the question I would ask for you is like, okay, great. How long's your supply chain? Like, how much are you making? If I've got something that I'm making once a month, okay, well, 30 days is going to be like exactly, you know, enough for 1 month's demand. If I'm making it every 2 months, 30 days isn't going to cut it. So at a minimum, you need to start to scale it based on what is my manufacturing cycle. So going back to our lead time conversation, I need to make sure I can at least cover that manufacturing lead time. Then you need to start thinking about, okay, that's only if you manufacture exactly what I want and the demand is perfect. Now, what is that safety buffer? You've got to translate into days. So instead of pounds or gallons of inventory or units of inventory, think about days of a safety stock inventory you have to add to that. So if I've got a lead time of, you know, 2 months, well, okay, that's going to be 60 days, and I'm going to have to add something on top of that. So do your safety stock calculation, convert it to days, and carry that. That at least would be an approximation. But yeah, just saying 30 days is not going to be sufficient, or any, you know, X number of days for everything, because you've got different run cycles, you've got different variabilities, and your days of coverage have to reflect.
Okay, you mentioned some things in there. What are some KPIs that people in inventory planning, inventory optimization, what's some KPIs they should be looking at as well then?
For inventory?
Yeah.
So, I mean, certainly out of stocks, you know, any kind of out of stocks, the fill rate, you know, kind of the gold standard now is becoming on time and full as a measure of, is my customer happy? The challenge we have with on time and in full is that on time portion isn't necessarily, it's more of the logistics, right? So if there is some measure of in full, did I make what, you know, did I have available either through production or inventory what the customer needed? So that's probably the key one that we've got to have, right?
Okay. Should we look at inventory turns, days of supply? I mean, what's those KPIs? Is there a big difference between them? Which one works better or anything?
A lot of times, you know, the inventory turns is, you know, it's popular in finance. It gives, you know, people outside the company looking in, hey, what is, you know, are they managing their inventory properly? Well, I can get you really high inventory turns. You're not going to like the customer service level I get. So the challenge with those is those are all kind of in the rearview mirror, you know, type of looking targets. You want to get something executionally we can do something about, or something that we can use for a root cause analysis if it goes kind of off the rails. If I don't have in full, okay, well, there was a problem with a stock out. I can track that back to problem with manufacturing, or, you know, maybe some type of spike in my demand. My inventory levels are high or low. How do I track that back? So any inventory that gives you good diagnostic capability lets you dive down and find out what the root causes, either from the manufacturing side or from the demand side. Those are the ones you really want to follow. Other ones, you know, that I tend to look at trying to balance everything out. You know, I look at where's my frozen time fence, and with a frozen time fence, how many intrusions into that, right? So I think I've done a great job of setting up, you know, my manufacturing schedule. All of a sudden, like the rush order, hey, great news, we got a new rush order that came in. Okay, well, now I've got to stop what I'm doing and switch over. So those, you know, tend to reflect what's my manufacturing stability of the schedule. And the other one is attainment. It's like manufacturing, did you make what I asked you to make when I asked you to make it? Those are really the big ones that I like to see is, you know, frozen time fence violations, the manufacturing attainment, and then just, you know, looking at was the inventory production there when the customer wants that in full measure.
Okay. One final question. I only got a minute or so here left, but one final question here. Without blaming forecasts, so it's not my fault, without blaming me, what's some things that you can do or a company can do to reduce inventory?
Well, I think you've got to understand the drivers, right? You have to understand lead time variability, demand variability. That's going to be driving the safety stock calculation. You need to make sure you've got an effective segmentation so you're not treating all customers the same. I'll maintain there's your A customers, your B customers, C customers, with your products, A customers, B, C as well. Make sure you put your focus on where it's important. Okay. Another thing, if you'd never want to blame the forecast again, have it be make to order. There are a lot of products with very, very high variability. You cannot forecast them, and it would have a mountain of inventory to give you any kind of satisfaction, you know, from a customer standpoint. Make to order. I mean, I know we're IBF and we're talking about forecasting, but yeah, you can change your manufacturing strategy as well. The other thing that, you know, if you look at the product portfolio, sometimes people are overly complex. And if I go to Walmart, I'm going to find 50 different types of Crest toothpaste. It's like, I only want one or two maybe, right? It's a lot easier to forecast two things than it is to forecast 50 things. So it's a bit tongue in cheek, but make your product more forecastable. You know, look at your promotions. Do I need all these promotions? Do I need all these products? Again, a good S&OP process, you will start to have marketing talk about new product introductions and manufacturers say, well, what's their supply chain? Say, what's the impact on the supply chain if you do this? Again, perfect trade-off. So I think if you understand those, the last thing I would put in there, you know, we've talked about variability and we could talk statistically what variability is. We're actually talking about risks. What are my risks of upsides, downsides, risks, opportunities? We're talking about risk management. So the more you understand that variability and seek to mitigate the sources of variability, the more stable your supply chain is. And maybe we'll get back to just in time. Who knows?
Maybe, or a combination thereof. Best of all these different concepts put together to do something in the future. So yeah. So I do have one. I said that was my final question. I do have one other final question. Is how do you manage the inventory of bourbon correctly? How do you make sure you have the right selection and don't have stockouts on that? So any secrets there?
I think what we need to do is an active marketing campaign that, like, has bad information and no one wants to buy our Blanton's and therefore it'll come back into stock. We need to, yeah, there needs to be some scandal on Blanton's, I think, but it's probably not ever going to happen.
Yeah. I know a guy that bought a barrel of bourbon, Blanton's for about 44,000. Maybe you can have some of his. So.
Yeah.
So, all righty. Well, thank you very much. It was a great, I know you have some good insights. You definitely delivered. So thank you very much. And I'll be seeing you in Chicago here in a week and then in the future. So great.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Eric. Had a pleasure being here. Bye. All right. Take care. Bye.
I knew it'd be a great interview and I knew he'd be able to add a lot more insights than I could ever do. So please check out Jeff and if you need him to help out with anything, let Jeff know. One of the things I kind of want to close with an understanding is when you look at why we have inventory problems, when you look at research, IBF does a lot of research or talk to a lot of companies, some of the feedback that we got and the main reasons why you see inventory problems in organizations. And I brought it down to, here's the top four. One, poor inventory management. There's a lot of organizations that still don't have perpetual inventory systems, or they have poor inventory systems and processes to maintain accurate inventory records and inventory levels. The other thing looking at being able to do with this as well is RFID and inventory management systems. They have poor warehouse management systems and poor ways to understand where inventory is, even within their own four walls, or as they be able to move inventory around. The other problem, problem number two, is matching supply with the changing customer demands. There's a lot of uncertainty in demand. And there's a lot of uncertainty in supply too, but demand is that changing customer pattern, they're not keeping up with it. One of the things you need here to look to do is integrate demand planning as a one-number attitude. You need to be able to get more connected. You don't ignore the forecast and demand. You work in concert with it and develop a one-number attitude your organization operates off of. S&OP as a process is another great way. Help builds that collaboration, builds the consensus in the organization. It builds some of those processes that you need. Number three reasons why we see poor inventory or mixed match inventory levels is because of managing multiple channels and warehouses. It getting more and more confusing as far as the multi-echelon and different nodes that companies have to plan, especially when it comes to e-commerce and brick and mortar and trying to plan each of these separately in different sections and warehousing. One of the things you need to look at here is a network optimization. Looking at network planning then as well. It's one of the things we're going to touch on in August in Nashville is that network optimization, network planning as a planning part of supply planning. The other thing looking at is segmentation. All items aren't created equal. All customers aren't created equal. Understanding your items, understanding your ABCs, the XYZs, other types of attributes in your items can help you plan those items better, but also helps you plan your resources and network better then as well. And finally, the last thing I want to touch on is poor supply chain management. Yeah, it's not always demand's fault. Guess what? There is equal problems on the supply side when it comes to understanding, you know, connecting the dots, having full visibility, understanding the supply variability that exists. Lead time is no longer a constant, or it shouldn't be a constant in your system anymore. That is a variable that changes now. So understanding those variables, understanding the uncertainty, understanding some of the things you need to be able to connect the dots, all those part of poor supply chain management. The solution here is being honest, saying, yes, we need to look at ourselves sometimes as the problem as well. How do we measure supply chain variability? Are we measuring the right things? Are we understanding where we're having problems inside our own supply chain? Well, that's a wrap. I'm going to take inventory of my own bourbon collection, see where I might have some shortages, and take care of any excess inventory. My name is Eric Wilson. You can find me at eric@ibf.org. That's eric@ibf.org. Thanks, Arkiva, for driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. And also, one other quick plug, ibf.org. Check out the events page. August 10th, my birthday, or around there, we're going to do 3 days in Nashville for a supply planning boot camp. Excellent content. Todd Dunn's coming down, who's an expert in this field. He's going to be the one running 2 days of the course. I'm going to be there to do day three, demand and S&OP. It's a great event in Nashville in August, ibf.org. Finally, remember after counting inventory, if you're counting inventory, you're working with products, remember after you count the inventory, don't forget, wash your hands.